It's always good to see everybody and to be here on a Sunday morning. It's always very encouraging. I'm excited about next week. I look forward to starting a new book in our Bible class. We've been on Hebrews for a good while, and it's going to be exciting to start a brand new book, and so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about being able to preach on the resurrection next week. It's one of those things where I think about preaching on the resurrection probably every Sunday. It's one of my favorite topics to preach on, and I keep telling myself, you know, if I do this, I'm going to do this every single week, and I just need to kind of, you know, hold back a little bit and wait for those days where it's more expected, and so we'll wait. I've had to wait, and I'm excited. And so I'm excited about preaching on the resurrection. I hope that you invite people to come and spend time with us and worship God with us as we talk about this great subject. And so this morning I thought we would start this lesson off with a story. It was a story about a man who was very concerned about his wife's hearing. And so he was so concerned that he goes to the doctor and he talks to the doctor about his wife's hearing, and his doctor advises him to go and test his wife's hearing. So he goes home and he walks into the house, into the living room, and he's, you know, about 40 feet away from her or so, or however far he was, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And there was no response. And so he moves a little bit closer, so now he's about 30 feet or so, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he moves forward 20 feet and does the same thing, and then 10 feet, and he calls out, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And there's no response. So then he walks right up to her, and he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she said, "You know, for the fifth time, we're having chicken." And so I'm afraid that we kind of do that, don't we? We always look to somebody else, and we say that they're the problem, right? We've been talking about this all month, this concept of pointing fingers at other people, when in reality, we need to be looking at ourselves, that we often are the problem. But even if we are not solely the problem, the solution begins with us, doesn't it? The solution begins with us. We have to stop and recognize the problems within our own life so that we can effectively help one another with the problems in their life. And that is a concept that I believe Jesus is hammering home in the next part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the last part of his great sermon. It's an invitation. Jesus is giving us an invitation at the end of his sermon, and the invitation is to hear his words, right? To hear his words, but not just to hear his words, but to respond to those words, to act on those words. As Jesus is calling us to a new way of living, as Jesus is calling us to a new way of thinking and a new way of responding to the people in our lives, he wants us not just to hear these words, but he wants us to respond to these words. Jesus is calling us to respond to the sermon. He's calling us to respond to all of his words as he leads us and guides us and directs us in our life. As we consider the various different relationships that we have in our life, Jesus is telling us, this is how you respond. The choice is whether we're going to hear him or not and listen. Whether we're actually going to listen to the words of Jesus. Are we going to respond to Jesus' words? And to make this point, Jesus gives us two illustrations about two different people building houses. And he says, one builds a house on a rock. And the other, well, he builds his house on sand. So let's look at that text this morning. Oh, that is not my presentation. That's the wrong one. Well, anyhow, so we're going to have to go without it. So let's stick with this slide. Sorry about that. I don't know where that one came from. Anyhow, that was last week, so we're not going to go back to last week. So we'll just go ahead and move forward. I don't know where my presentation is. It's on that flash drive somewhere. There's no telling where I saved it, so I'm sorry about that. I usually look it over in the morning, and I forgot this morning. So let's go ahead and look at the text. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open your Bibles. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verse 24. We're concluding the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Right? So there are those who hear Jesus' words and will act on them. There are those who hear his words and they will respond to those words. And Jesus considers these wise. He says, these are wise people. This is a wise man who hears my words and builds his house on a rock. He responds to my words. He responds to my teaching. He changes his life. He reconsiders his position in life. He reconsiders all of his relationships, and he makes the necessary change, right? What is Jesus expecting of them? What is he expecting of us? What is it that we're hearing? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be building this foundation? We listen to everything, right, that Jesus has said in this sermon, everything that Jesus has preached in this sermon. We look to reconciliation, as he has taught us, to reconcile with our brothers in our relationships. We seek reconciliation. Jesus has taught us to do this. As in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, when Jesus says that you have heard what the ancients say, and we're told that you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the courts. But I say, in verse 22, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the courts. We control our anger. We control our responses towards people, and we seek reconciliation. We're committed. Jesus teaches us that we are to be committed to our relationships, as in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, where he says that you heard what is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus says, honor these relationships. Commit yourself to these relationships. Be all in when it comes to your relationship, especially a relationship with your spouse. And he teaches us how we're supposed to respond. How do we respond when somebody hurts you? How do you respond when somebody slaps you on the cheek? How do you respond when somebody insults you? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, you heard what it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, Jesus says, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Go above and beyond what is required of you, right? Go above and beyond what is expected of you for their benefit. For their benefit and for yours. It benefits you too, but you are responding to their evil. You're responding to their harsh action towards you with love and compassion. And the hope is that they will change, right? The hope is that change will take place in their lives. It's for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And then in chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You have heard what it is said. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to just believe in him, right? He doesn't want us to just believe in him as the Messiah. He doesn't want us just to call out, Lord, Lord. He doesn't want us to acknowledge his existence and go on living our life, right? Business as usual. That's not what Jesus is calling us to. That's not what the gospel is calling us to. It's not calling us to just simply believe in Jesus. He wants us to be his disciples. And there's a huge difference, isn't there? He wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow and be his disciples. And it's going to take more. It's going to take more, Jesus says, more than just hearing, It's going to take more than just hearing my words. It's going to take more than just believing in my existence. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take you acting, you responding, you changing your life in light of the truth of the existence and the reality of the Messiah. It's going to take more than just hearing. It's going to take action. And it's not going to be about just following rules, right? It's not going to be about just going through the motions, but it's going to be a transformed heart that is in the likeness of our Savior. Following Jesus is more than just hearing his words, but it's putting those words into action. It's reshaping everything, reshaping our relationships, reshaping our friendships, reshaping our entire life after his life. It's being his disciple. And Jesus says that the one who hears, sorry, I don't know where I'm at now. I really have this thing messed up. I'm sorry. Let's just stay right there. That's good. Jesus says that the one who hears his words, the words of his, and acts on them, he says, this person is compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock, right? If you hear my words and you act on them, you respond to my teachings, you change your life, you do the will of my Father who is in heaven, you are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And then he says in verse 25, he says, the rain will fall. He said, the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it slammed against that house. What house? The house that was built on the rock. The house that was built on hearing and acting on the words of Jesus. It slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Being Jesus' disciples, being his disciples doesn't mean that we're going to avoid the storm. Do you guys understand that? Do you see that? Being Jesus' disciple does not mean we're going to avoid the storm. It doesn't mean we're not going to be persecuted. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be hurt. Being Jesus' disciple does not mean we're going to avoid the storm. The storm is coming, right? The storm is coming. It's coming. It means, however, that when the storm does come, if we've built on that foundation, if we've heard the words of Jesus and acted on them, that when the storm does come, that our house will stand. The life we have built in obedience to Jesus will stand if it is founded on the rock. And then look what Jesus says in verse 26. He says, Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus said in verse 13 that many, many will choose the wrong gate. Remember? That many will choose this wide gate and not the narrow gate. And then in verses 22 and 23, he says that many, many in that day will call out, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Right? There will be many in that day, on the judgment day, who will find that the house that they have built was built on sand and not the rock. They heard the words of Jesus, right? That is what's familiar about these two in the illustration. They both heard, but they did not all act appropriately. They did not all respond to the words of Jesus. They heard them, they just didn't respond to the words of Jesus, and some did. Some built their house on the rock, and some built their house on the sand. And when the storm comes, and it's coming, isn't it? We know that the storm is coming. When the storm comes and slams against that house, the house that is built on the sand will fall. And Jesus says, great will be its fall. And then in verse 28, he had finished preaching these words, and the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Everyone. And this is so clear in Jesus' preaching. He doesn't leave room for gray areas, right? He doesn't leave room for in-betweens. There's no halfway in and halfway out. He's very clear with his teachings that everybody is going to be separated into these two groups, right? There's not going to be somebody who's just kind of barely hanging in there. There's not going to be a middle ground. There's not going to be a third group. That everybody is separated into these two groups. There are those who will hear the words of Jesus and act on them. They're going to change. They're going to respond. They're going to hear his words, and they're going to model their life after the ideal life of the kingdom. They're going to change in their relationships. They're going to change in their response to their enemies. They're going to reconsider all that they have done in life. They're going to look at themselves and evaluate themselves, right? They're going to point the finger at them and say, am I making this mistake? Am I doing this? Before I can remove the speck out of my brother's eye, I have to first look at the log that's in my own eye. That these are the kinds of people that are building their house on solid ground, on a solid foundation, on the rock, are those who actually hear and actually respond to the words of Jesus and do what he teaches us to do. But Jesus has already said, not many people are going to do this. It's not going to be a common thing. Not everybody's going to jump up and do this. But there will be many people who will not respond appropriately to Jesus. And in the end, they're going to be surprised, aren't they? They're going to be surprised when they find out that their house was built on the sand. They don't listen to the words of Jesus. But those who do hear the words of Jesus, those who do respond, and that could be us, right? We can respond to this. We can take the time right now to look at ourselves, look at our lives, evaluate our heart, and ask the hard questions, right? Am I following Jesus? Am I a disciple of Jesus? Am I listening to him? Am I building my house on the rock? We can look at ourselves right now. And you should, because that's what Jesus is encouraging you to do. Look at the foundation in which you're building your house. What is it? What are you doing with your life? Because there will be a day coming that the storm's going to come. We know that. We understand that. We understand that even on a smaller scale, that there are storms in life, that things happen in life. On a smaller scale, before the judgment comes, there will be problems. There'll be difficulties. There'll be persecution. There'll be heartache. There's going to be suffering. On those days, your foundation's going to be tested too, right? But on that day, when that storm finally comes, there's not going to be time for self-evaluation. There's not going to be time to stop and say, oh, let me reinforce my foundation so when the storm hits my house, it will not fall, because then it will be too late. Jesus' invitation is, are you hearing my words? And are you acting on my words? Are you being my disciple? Or are you not being my disciple? Right? And it's easy, it is so easy to point to somebody else's house and look at them and spend all of our time pointing at somebody else's house and their life and criticizing them. That's easy, right? That's less painful. It's more enjoyable for us for whatever reason. We love to point at somebody else's life. We love to point at somebody else's house. And we love to criticize them. And it's easy to say to somebody else, hey, you're building your house on the sand. For some reason, that's easier for us to come to grips with, to acknowledge somebody else is building their house on the sand. And maybe they are. Maybe they are building their house on the sand. Maybe they need to hear somebody say that. Maybe this message is for you, and you're listening to these words of Jesus, and you're asking yourself the question, am I building my house on the sand? Sometimes we need to hear those kinds of things, but we also need to recognize that we first need to look at our house. I want to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. In order to do that, I have to look at me first. Before I can even begin the process of helping somebody else, I have to evaluate my own life first. Do you see that? Do you understand that? This message was for them. Jesus preached this message to the people of his day. But the message is for me. It's for me. Jesus is preaching to me, and he's telling me, you need to look at your foundation. You need to look at the log in your own eye. You need to evaluate your own life. You need to hear my words and act on them. And the result of that is I can go and I can respond to that by helping you with your speck and your foundation. You need to look at your life. You need to acknowledge the log that's in your eye. You need to acknowledge what kind of foundation you're building on so that you can make the adjustments accordingly, right? Evaluate yourself. Do what's right. Listen to Jesus. Act on those words so that you can turn around and help your brothers and your sisters and your family to build their house on the kind of foundation that will withstand the storm, because the storm is coming. The storm is coming. The truth is, if we're acting on the words of Jesus, or if we're not acting on the words of Jesus, rather, the truth is, if we're not acting on the words of Jesus, then we're not Jesus' disciples. Do you know what it means to be a disciple? To follow somebody, to embrace their truths, to embrace their way of thinking, to embrace their life, to embrace everything about them and follow them full-heartedly, because that's what Jesus is calling us to drop everything and to follow him. To drop our nets and follow Jesus. To drop everything and be his disciple. But the truth is, if we're not following Jesus, if we're not his disciple, we're somebody else's disciple. You're somebody's disciple, regardless. You're following somebody. You're allowing somebody to shape your life. You're allowing somebody to tell you what life is supposed to look like. You're allowing somebody to tell you what kind of foundation to build on. Somebody is speaking into your life and communicating to you how you ought to live. It's either Jesus or it's somebody else. And maybe it's you. Maybe you're telling yourself. Maybe you're confusing yourself. Maybe you're deceiving yourself. Somebody is speaking into your life. You're following somebody. And Jesus says, no, wait. I want you to follow me. I want you to hear my words. I don't want you just to listen to what the rabbis say of his day, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I don't want you to listen to what the preacher says as if his opinion is of any value. I want you to follow me. Be my disciple. And when the storm comes and the winds blow and the rains fall, your house will stand. Jesus is well aware of all that is being done. He is well aware of all the teaching that is out there. He is well aware of all the leaders who want to lead you, all of the people who want to guide you, and he wants you to quiet that noise. For the time being, quiet that noise and come and follow Jesus and hear his words. Listen to him. Who are you listening to? Whose words are you building your foundation on? Are they your friends' words? Are they your parents' words, your grandparents' words, their truths, their beliefs, their understanding? What about a religious leader? Are you building your house on something somebody else is saying? Whether it be friends, parents, grandparents, religious leaders, right? Like the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees of Jesus' day, They listen to the words of Moses, but they listen to the words of their rabbis, they listen to the words of their teachers, and they were building everything on those words, and on their own ideas, and their own thoughts, and their own beliefs, and it ultimately leads to their demise. Because when the Messiah actually comes and speaks truth to them, they do not recognize him for who he truly is. Because his teachings amazed them. You see that? It was amazing to them. It shouldn't have been. Jesus really hasn't said anything brand new. A lot of what we've talked about can be found in the Torah. Go back to the Old Testament, read the prophets, read what God desired of his people, and you will see echoes of the things Jesus has been teaching all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And they did not listen to those people. And they are not going to listen to Jesus either. And Jesus says these kind of people are building their house on the wrong foundation. Folks, we know that day is coming. We like to pretend it's not coming. We like to say, well, the day is just going to continue on and on and forever and ever, and it's never going to come to an end. And life is just going to keep moving and moving and moving and moving generation after generation, and that day is not coming. But we know it is. We know that that day is coming. We know that there is a storm coming. And we have been given an opportunity. We have been given an opportunity today. We have been given an opportunity at this very moment. If you're able to hear the words of Jesus, you are given the opportunity to evaluate your life, right? Think about your life. Evaluate your life in light of the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. You have the model, you have the example, you have his words. Read them and evaluate your life. You have been given that opportunity. Consider it a gift. It's available. It's available. If you have breath in your lungs, consider it a gift. Evaluate your life. Make the hard changes. Ask the hard questions. Make sure that you're building your house on the right kind of foundation. And so the question, will I hear and will I act? Will I hear and will I act? Or will I hear and will I not act? That's how simple Jesus makes it. Will you hear me and respond? Or will you hear me and not respond? Will you build your house on the rock? Or will you build your house on the sand? Because folks, we're all building a house. We're all building a life. And now, right now, today, at this moment, it is time to decide what foundation you will build your life on. Because the storm is coming, and the rain will fall, and the wind will blow, and only those houses that are built on the foundation of the teaching of Jesus will stand, and all others will fall. What foundation are you building your house? If there's anybody here this morning who needs to put on Jesus and begin building, it's time to begin if you haven't begun already. But if you have been building for a while and you have made some mistakes in your life and you need to reevaluate yourself and you need prayers from the congregation, encouragement as you do so, that's what we're here for. Let us help you with that as you come forward and as we sing.
Would you be free?